Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Teron Davenport to the program.
You're trying to have TD pissed off right away?
Presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. We're just going to pretend like the Mets don't exist. TD, good morning. How are you?
I wasn't going to bring him up at all.
Hey, good morning. Well, hey, listen, man, they've won 2 games in a row.
Okay.
Got a little temporary happiness, man. Yeah.
Okay. Coming back. So is that what you were doing, Ian? You knew that? I didn't realize that. As far
streak
as I know, they've lost like 15 in a row.
The streak is over.
That's for
Thank
sure. goodness.
Yeah, they had lost 12 in a row. They lost 12 in a row. Then they won back-to-back games. But in true Mets fashion, in their first win, Francisco Lindor was injured, hurt his calf, and he's on the injured list. And, that's just the way things go. We can't have good things.
Apparently not. So, TD, we will get your reaction on the Keldrick Faulk pick coming up. There's a lot going on with Titans fans and their reaction to what happened yesterday in the first round. But let's just start on Carnell Tate at number 4. You've got Arvell Reese on the board at 4. Sonny Styles is on the board. And they end up going with Carnell Tate. So what did you make, number 1, of that decision, that move? And what do you think of the player the Titans have ended up with in Carnell Tate?
Well, it was such a surprise that Carnell Tate himself was surprised about it. So, yep. I mean, that's something that you have. But I think, look, this just shows how badly they wanted a number one receiver. And I think when you look at Carnell Tate, he fits what they need. You know, we've talked about making sure they didn't have more of the same. Well, he's a downfield threat. I know he ran the 4.5, and as I've said before, that's not slow. He's still a legit downfield threat. He attacks the ball well. He's a separator. And as Mike Berganza said, you know, he likes what he does at the top of the route. So I think that's something that is going to be good for them. I just, you know, when you draft a guy in the top 5, though, you're asking for a big, big return. And to me, right, a lot of these people have said, hey, if you draft Sonny Styles number 4, he better be Ray Lewis. If you draft, Jeremiah Love number 4, he better be Walter Payton. Well, I'm not saying Carnell Tate better be Jerry Rice, but they're going to need a lot from him, and that's what's going to be asked.
Yeah, no doubt. So, comparison. I feel like you always have good comparison. So, if there is another receiver, because people have thrown out Hopkins, and I just don't think Tate has that physicality.
No,
he has the catch radius,
no.
maybe, but not the – But people throwing out T. Higgins. Who comes to mind for you to give fans a visual of what Carnell Tate plays like?
For me, it's George Pickens. And the way they both have tremendous body control, the way they go up and get the football, the way they're able to track it downfield, that's the comparison for me where they have similarities. And I think that's been my comparison for him for quite some time, and that's how I see it.
In terms of the receiving room, TD, if he is right from the jump close to what they think he can be, what does this do for Cam Ward in terms of obviously, you know, having him as the target out there, but also now the depth at wide receiver when you're talking about Ridley, Wandale Robinson, and maybe downshifting Io Manor and DK into like that 4th, 5th wide receiver role depending on, you know, how they decide to use those guys?
Yeah, it gives him a legit number X X downfield receiver. I think that's really the main thing. And so now, you know, you look at it, you got Calvin Ridley working Z, you got Carnell Tate at X, Wanda Robinson at the slot, and then you got DK who could kind of shift between, the Z and the slot. You got Io Manor at X and, you know, Bryce Oliver and some of the other guys, you know, at X and moving around too. So I think what it does is just kind of round out what they're looking for as far as to have as a group of receivers. And that's the way I see it. But I do wonder how much Tate is going to be able to adjust to the press coverage that comes with playing in the NFL, and also adjust to, hey, you're the number one guy. We're going to put Derek Stingley on you. We're going to put Patrick Surtain the second on you. Like, that's what we're going to do. So how are you going to adjust to it?
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, the whole, you know, number two receiver on your college team, I mean, some people take that too far because Jeremiah Smith is going to be the number one to like any other receiver. But right. it has helped. I mean, you can't say it hasn't helped Tate in matchups in terms of not being doubled as much, not having the clear best corner on him, right? Things like that. I mean, that's what he's going to have to adjust to. But TD, I want to ask you about Keldrick Faulk. Why? Obviously, the Titans loved him. I mean, there's no question when you move up as they did to go get a guy. I mean, to me, like, that's their guy. Why is he there? Because there's a lot of other guys. We're gonna see Zion Young and Cassius Winston. These guys go off here soon. Why is he the guy? How does he fit in this particular defense?
Yeah, I tell you, it's a pick that really surprised me, and I especially with a move up. But I will say, a lot of boards had him as a top 25 guy. So there may be some value there, but I think you look at the skill set, the length. We know that Robert Saleh always likes length on the edge. But then I think the versatility too. But then the question you ask is, okay, the production.
Yeah.
What happened to the production? And that's why I asked him, man, you got 30 pressures. How did you only get to the quarterback and take him down twice? You know, he talked about the pad level and talked about, you know, having the way he was asked to two gap and you know, those types of things. But, I mean, I remember that same conversation being made about Shamar Stewart. And, you know, that worked out so well that the Bengals traded the number 10 pick for, you know, Dexter Lawrence. So that's something you got to consider. But, I think really they're banking on the upside. And one of the things that Borghazi said was, hey, you know, we got good coaches that will develop them. They have to figure out a way, you know, at 6'6", he has to play with a lower pad level.
Well, you bring up the size there, TD. And like you said, I mean, they go up to 31 to get him. You were scheduled to pick at 35. I mean, my guess is you could find some edge rushers there at 35 that people would have liked. So, I mean, this tells me that somebody in that building, multiple somebodies in that building, absolutely love Keldrick Faulk. So, like, the production scares me, though. I'll be honest with you. The two sacks last year, as you just mentioned, that kind of terrifies me about this pick.
Yeah, I mean, 10 sacks in 3 years. Like, that's, you know, that's not good, bottom line. But, I mean, again, this is one of them things where it's like, okay, our coaching staff could get the best. So we like this ball of clay. We're going to mold it into something. And, you know, he compared, Borghazi, that is, compared him to Eric Armstead. And when he did that, it kind of, I was like, okay, all right, I could see this. But still, that's not what they, in my opinion, like, they need that guy coming off that wide nine.
Yeah.
You know, that fastball coming off the edge. They still don't have that. But, I mean, look, if you're going to go for a situational guy, there are some that they could get, but, I mean, they're running out of opportunities because they don't have a pick at 35. They don't have a pick at 66, but at 69, what are you going to do? And we'll see.
So, TD, hypothetical for you here, because, you know, obviously it ends up being – and you and I were talking yesterday after our show before you went on, you know, with Jake on the Cardinals situation, you know, and it turns out to be you had it nailed and – other people, all that smoke turned out to be real. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If Jeremiah Love were there last night and the Titans are looking at, you know, and they're looking at him or Tate, do you think they still take Tate?
Ooh. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, look, you could say yes because they took him over Reese, and you figure Reese was, you know, one of the pass rushers that was coveted. I don't know, man. That's a great question. That's a really good question. I can't tell you. Honestly, I can't tell you.
Do you think that the Titans were actively, like, was this sort of like they end up having the second pick, but they were hoping to move down? Do you think that they were hoping that someone was going to come up and give them an extra pick?
Well, that's what I'm curious about, because that's what was being put out there. But, I mean, you know, there was a deal with the Chiefs, you know, moved up to number six. And I wonder if that package would have been presented to a guy who used to be in that building and Mike Borgonzi to move down. So I don't know. I believe they wanted to, but then, I mean, like, every indication I got was that, hey, if Reese was going to be there, that's going to be the pick. So who knows, man? You talk about smoke screens and blame the Cardinals for it. It seems like Mike Borgonzi did a pretty good job, like that old Spy Hunter game. Remember when the smoke screen would come and spin you off the road? I think Mike Borgonzi was driving that same black car.
Well, it's interesting too, TD. Like, you know, if you told Titans fans, I think a couple of months ago, that, hey, your first two picks in the draft are going to be a wide receiver and an edge rusher, they would have said, yeah, good. But the way that it's shaken out here is pretty interesting. So as you mentioned, you know, not another pick at the moment scheduled until pick 69 coming up in the early part of the third round. Is that, in your opinion, when you start to take a look at the interior of the offensive line and say, all right, we got some pretty glaring holes here, we got to find a way to address that if you're the Titans?
I think it is, but what's going to be left, right? Will Emmanuel Pregnant be on the board? I maybe. Chase Besantis is probably going to be gone, you know, by the time they get to the third round. So it's a possibility. I think you also have to look at some of the guys, you know, that could play that nickel position, like, you know, your Jalen Kilgores, your those types. I think Keontae Scott, you know, those. So there are a few directions that they could go. Fortunately for them, they did kind of knock off two big needs, right? And I think Tate is a buy one, get one free, because, you know, you need a receiver, but you also need a big play threat. And he's a guy, five catches of 40 yards or more, touchdowns, that is. And the Titans had three plays, passing plays, of 40 yards or more. So he instantly brings something there. So there's different directions they could go. I would say those two positions that I mentioned are going to be involved.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably a safe bet there. TD, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us on what is a very busy weekend for you. And we will talk to you next week, my man.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Jerron Davenport with us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. Presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. We'll take your reaction to what TD had to say. The Titans taking Carnell Tate at number 4, Keldrick Falk at number 31 last night in the first round of the NFL draft. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Today, Vanderbilt baseball taking on Texas at Hawkins Field. First pitch at 6 o'clock. You can catch all the action on 102.5 The Game. Coverage presented by Gary Force Acura. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping here on the program. Outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Check them out at greenventureslandscaping.com. Titans take Carnell Tate at number 4. Keldrick Falk at number 31 in the first round last night. Taking your full reaction to that. Let's welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Just so you know, man, I jumped in late, so I have no idea what anybody feels about this. But I had like 5 minutes of, we do this every year. Like, they're always going to make a weird pick whenever they selected Tate. And then I started to go, okay, he's pretty good. Like, I started talking myself into it. Then you trade back in and you get ready some good picks to get a run stuffing D end. That's what they call him. The dude does not sack anybody. He just runs stuff. Like, it's a mixed bag, dude. I don't know. I don't know how anybody else feels about it, but it's a mixed bag for me. Like, yeah, I didn't want us to take a receiver, but he's a pretty good receiver. But then you trade back in for a slow D end. So I don't get that, man.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate the call.
So I will say that's not entirely true. You know, his numbers are very good. He has very good speed, especially for his size. He didn't finish plays. And to TD, like, TD's skepticism, I think, is totally warranted there. Like, you have to, like, you want to see people who finish these plays in college football, because it's harder to finish plays in the pros. But he did have 30 pressures. I think that's the number. 30 pressures, 2 sacks last year. So he gets there. He gets upfield. He gets past blockers. He affects the quarterback. Can the Titans get him to sack the quarterback? I will say, too, that if there's a group of players that I would feel good about this coaching staff developing, it would probably be front seven players.
I would agree. The lack of production scares me. And
yeah,
I, you know,
that's totally fair.
TD brought up the Shamar Stewart comparison. Like, and it's interesting. I mean, Shamar Stewart.
We talked about that
a ton with him. He had no production in college. Like, he barely got to the quarterback at all. And I understand he didn't play that much last year. He played in 8 games for Cincinnati. He had 1 sack. It's like, I understand you look at the intangibles, you look at the measurables, you look at, you know, there's so much that goes into where these guys get drafted beyond just straight-up production. But straight-up production does matter, right? Like, that's a big part of this, too. So if he couldn't finish in the SEC last year, do you think he's all of a sudden magically just going to start finishing this year in the NFL? Maybe he will. Maybe this coaching staff identified things about that they feel like they can correct pretty easily. I don't know. That just scares the crap out of me if I'm a Titans fan.
Yeah. And look, I will say, again, I've been citing people, the whole Carnell Tate thing. Look, we still have the debate in this town over the Cam dues and the what are you doings, and that continues to rage on. We need to remember these wonderful names.
These terms, yes.
You know, look, today we're just kicking off the Carnell Yaz. And the Taters, okay? It's the Carnell Yaz versus the Taters, and it's intense already.
That one needs work.
Is that not very good? Tater? No? Yeah? All right. But I don't
know whether to applaud you or to tell you to turn your microphone off.
Smack me. If you need to come over here and smack me, it's fine. But I will say on the Brugler aspect of this, he's, you know, not as high on Tate, like number 10 prospect. He's got Falk 15. He said, you know, it's worth the risk. He thinks it's worth the risk. He's not slow, though. He's not he's not a slow run-stuffing guy. He's a guy who didn't finish. It's still a concern. But, like, the measurables are there for a guy who can actually beat tackles and get to quarterback.
And TD and PK have both brought this up. You know, he's not really the wide nine guy. Right, like he's not really that guy flying around the edge,
like Reese could have been.
Right,
right.
So it's
right.
It's a different style of player. He may end up being the right player. I don't know. Like, but it's different than what you think about with Reese or Bailey coming off the edge over there.
A couple of texts I want to get to real quick. Dennis asked, "What would it look like if they went edge, then receiver, and it's Reese and probably Denzel Boston?" Which sounds kind of good, I must tell you.
Yeah, Denzel Boston's still on the board.
Recent, like if they, you know, again, if they were going
to where did Omar Cooper go last night?
He went
30th. Is he right before the Titans?
Yeah, I think he went to the Jets around. Yeah, I feel like that's right around 30.
Yeah,
and then someone cited this stat. Apparently, it's Wes Wisley, who was a Titans fan. I don't know where these come from, but if this is true. The only power four wide receiver prospect since 2018. Passer rating when targeted of 140 or better. Contested catch rate 68% or better. Missed tackle rate 20% or better would be Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Carnell Tate. So
there you go. If he's anything
true,
like those three, that's great.
Yes.
I'll take it.
You would be happy with that.
I will take that. Look, the Tate pick, there's been a lot of reaction to that today. A lot of people kind of on both sides of that argument. I said it to begin the show. I like Carnell Tate. I have questions about whether or not Carnell Tate's going to turn into a player worthy of being drafted at number 4, which by my definition is when you're drafting a wide receiver at number 4, you need to be pretty high on the list of best wide receivers in the NFL pretty quickly into your career. He doesn't have to be it by game 1, but you know, toward the end of next year into his second year, you need to be looking at Carnell Tate and saying, yeah, there's not too many guys in the NFL I'd rather have catching the football for my quarterback than Carnell Tate, who we just took at number 4 overall.
Yeah, that's got to be.
That's got to be the standard.
It's got to be that good. It's got to be that good, and that's a high, high bar. And while you're looking at that, you're cringing and hoping that Arvell Reese doesn't become like this dominant, unbelievable, defensive player with the Giants. people asking about, you know, with Falk, he is on a bad team, but Gover and others, like, what about the lack of production being on a bad team? Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to that. It's like the opposite of the Ohio State conversation with all these great defenders. But you can, if you're on a bad team and you're a great player who should go that high in the draft, you should still be able to get production.
Like, you should have more than two sacks.
Yeah. Yeah. There's plenty of players drafted in the NFL who played on bad teams. That happens. And if they're just individually great, then that's it. Someone said you just described Jadeveon Clowney. Well, actually, there might be a little bit of something there.
I mean, Jadeveon Clowney in college?
Well, I think as a prospect.
Okay.
And Clowney had more production, but there was a little bit of like projecting him to even do more in the NFL than he did at South Carolina, right?
That's true. Yeah. I mean,
Physically, there's some similarities.
I think I need to pull off these stats. If memory serves me correctly, I think Clowney had a huge sophomore year, and then his junior year it was not that great. Let me pull it up. Yes, okay. So, yeah, his sophomore year, Clowney had 13 sacks in 2012. His junior year, he had 3.
Yeah.
He had 8 his first year. So you're talking 21 sacks first 2 years of college. You know, Falk had 10 total in 3 years. So it's not the same, but it wasn't great for Clowney his junior year.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, again, I don't care about Falk's freshman year. He did have 7 the second year.
He did.
Why did it go down from 7 to 2? You know, at least, like, you have a 7-sack season in there. And he is only 20. That's another thing to.
Yeah, they're both young.
They're young.
Tate and the D-end. So,
yeah.
Room to grow.
Yeah, yeah. People mentioning that apparently the Chiefs said that they were going to draft Tate. Yeah, well, right, at 9, right? At
they
9.
Said it when
solidified
Tate got
moving up.
Yeah. When Tate got taken, it solidified their idea to move up to the Chiefs to select
Delaney.
So, 6. The point of the small reach, that kind of validates it, right? Like a team that at 9 was thought they'd have a chance at him. That's about where people had him going.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Continue to take your reaction to Carnell Tate at number 4 for the Titans and Keldrick Falk at number 31. We will get into weekend winners. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you. Now on ESPN. 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. Weekend winners here on the program. A standings update in the competition. That was a horrible week for me last week. 1-5. No lock. Ian and Joe both went 4-2 with their locks, which brings the overall standings. Rex Road in first, 28-26, 5-4 on his locks, 33 points. Ian, 23-31, 7-2 on his locks, 30 points. I am 24-30, 4-5 on my locks, 28 points. Garbage.
Still close.
Garbage.
Very close.
We begin. Vanderbilt and Texas coming up this weekend in a weekend series here in Nashville. Joe Rex Road, you were up first. Who you got to win the weekend series? Vanderbilt taking on a very good Texas team.
Yeah, a very good Texas team. And this would be massive for Vanderbilt as Vanderbilt and Tennessee both try to do enough to get into the NCAA tournament, but I'm going to go with Texas.
Joe going with the Longhorns this weekend. Ian Safar, who we got between Vanderbilt and Texas?
I believe I saw Texas was ranked number 4.
Yep.
So I think I'm going to unfortunately have to take the Longhorns. Maybe. You know, it's a home series here.
It is home.
So maybe the Doors can get 2 or 3, but I think I'm going to lean Texas.
I will go Longhorns as well. A clean sweep for Texas. Congratulations to Vanderbilt for winning the weekend series.
Big series win. Good job.
Coming up this weekend. Good stuff on that front. Tampa Bay and Montreal in what has been an awesome series to this point in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Game 3 tonight at the Bell Center in Montreal, which will be a raucous environment. Ian, straight up, Tampa. Montreal, game 3. Who we got?
Tuffy right here. The Montreal youngsters showing out so far versus the Tampa Bay, I guess, veteran presence. Maybe no Hedman still, right?
Yeah.
He's still out. This is a tough one. I think I'm going to take Montreal.
Ian going with the kids. Montreal up there at home in game 3. Give me Tampa. They need a big-time performance from Vasilevsky. I think they get it in this game. And I think Kucherov comes alive in Game 3 here. He got a big goal the other day in Game 2. I think he continues to produce here in Game 3. I'll go Tampa to win Game 3 on the road. Joe, who we got?
I think it's just going to be wild well, as wild as that place can get. Great history. Let's see a little new school wildness from those Montreal fans. I think that they're going to get it done in game three. Give me the Canadiens.
Going with the Canadiens in game number three. The Rockets and the Lakers in game three. Coming up tonight, Rockets are an 8.5-point favorite in this one. Give me the Lakers to cover the 8.5. I think they'll lose, but I will take them to cover the 8.5. Joe Rexford, who we got?
You know, I feel like the Rockets are due to just erupt, and I think it'll be a close game.
You feel like they're going to blast off in game three?
They might just blast off on these suckers. I think they're going to end up winning by about 12 points. Give me the Rockets.
One with the Rockets, minus the 8.5. Ian Safar, who we got? Game three between the Rockets and Lakers.
Weird series here. Lakers dealing with some injuries. Houston also dealing with injuries with KD. LeBron showing out.
Yep.
I'm surprised this number is so high, honestly, 8.5, which makes me go with Houston. I'm going to take Houston.
Going with the Rockets, minus the 8.5. Going up in game three. We move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
So, looking at Celtics-Sixers, interesting. Celtics blow them out in game one. You're like, yeah. And then the Sixers blow them out in game two. Sixers are plus 7.5 at home in game three. I think the Celtics are going to win the series. I think the Celtics probably win this game tonight, but I think it's going to be a really good game, and I think the Sixers will take that 7.5, and I'll take them and the 7.5.
Going Sixers plus the 7.5 against the Celtics. Ian, your first individual selection.
Okay, my lock this week.
Guaranteed.
I'm just going to go OKC, minus 9.5 versus Phoenix. It's over. Sorry, Jake Lyman. I'm going to take OKC. I mean, 9.5 is a big number when you're up 3-0 on the road. So I'm going with my theory here. Going back with, OKC, take the lead. 9.5.
And ain't much going on in that series. Just to go ahead, I've got the Thunder minus 9.5 as well. I will not make it my lock, but I do have the Thunder minus the 9.5.
I mean, I'm sorry I had that one too.
It's pretty easy.
But you get the lock. You claim the lock. So that's fine.
So
we'll all take it.
We all have the Thunder. Minus the 9.5.
Just getting out of my lock out of the way first. Let's just get her done.
Against the Suns. I will also, for my second individual pick, give me the Minnesota Wild minus 1.5 against the Dallas Stars in game four. It's been a good series to this point. Minnesota killed them in game one.
Heartbreaker
the other day. I think they respond. I think they get a late empty netter to win by two in game four. So give me the Wild minus 1.5 in game four to even that one up against the Dallas Stars.
I like Minnesota to win the 1.5.
It scares me. Yep. Ian, your second individual selection.
Okay, I'm going to go back to basketball. I'm going to show some faith in my Knicks to even this series up. Minus 1.5 versus the Hawks. They're favored after losing on the road. Going with the Knicks. They can win by a bucket, get back in this series.
Need better from Brunson than we saw at the end of that game last night.
That was a terrible shot.
That was a rough last couple possessions there from him.
Joe, your final individual selection.
Yeah, you know, I don't really like to do this. Robbie, you do this a lot. It seems like it works out pretty well for you. I don't like going with the heart type thing, you know, and especially making it your lock. But this is, you know, my little brother's been freaking out about the Pistons, and then they just destroyed the Magic in the third quarter. It's like, yeah, they actually are a lot better than the Magic. I mean, maybe it's not a 1-8 split, but the Pistons in game three are in Orlando. Orlando's getting 2.5. Give me the Pistons. They're going to win this game by 8 to 10 points and make that my lock.
Guaranteed.
Taking the Pistons minus 2.5, locking down against the Orlando Magic. Ian, your final individual selection.
Yeah, I'll go back to him this week. Nashville SC.
There we go.
Not feeling it, though. A little bit of a long layoff here. Haven't played. Got the week off. Almost, I feel like that kind of backfires against them almost. They've been rolling, busy. They are at home versus Charlotte. They beat Charlotte on the road earlier this year. I'm going to give them an L.
Losing. Ooh. Against Charlotte coming up.
Yeah, I almost went draw, but I'm going straight L.
Is that your first L?
Ian's had a
maybe second.
I think it's the second one. Ian's had a pretty good feel for Nashville SC so far this year. Going with Nashville SC losing against Charlotte coming up this weekend. Give me Ducks Oilers over 6.5 goals coming up in game three.
No faith Locked in Connor down. Ingram?
I don't have a faith in a single goalie in that series. Dostal's okay. But no, I don't have any faith in Connor Ingram at all. They should probably put that over under at 8.5. But we'll go over 6.5 lockdown on Ducks and Oilers.
Oilers. Have you heard of a guy named UC Saros?
Let me tell you this. I think they're in some trouble here. Like Anaheim could have won game one.
You think?
I think they could lose this series. Anaheim could have won game one. They did win game two, and now you're going back home. It's just I think if you're relying on Edmonton to get back to the Cup final for the third year in a row, I'd be surprised if that happens.
Got
to
stop some pucks.
Yeah, got to stop some pucks, and then I'm sure McDavid will be looking around and saying, "Huh, I signed that contract, huh? How about that? That's fun."
Mm-hmm.
We will get back into reaction from the Titans' first round of the draft coming up next. Look ahead to what could be coming for the Titans for the remainder of the draft. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. The Game National Sports Network will have coverage of the NFL draft today from Chicago's home of chicken and waffles. Coverage beginning at 6 o'clock on Sports Talk 830, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Pozona MD, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, Sealmaster, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air Home Generators. Titans are scheduled to pick at pick number 69 tonight after the trade to get back up in the first round with Keldrick Falk yesterday, which means Buffalo now has pick number 35 and Buffalo has pick number 66 well.
65-spot drop on the ladder of those picks. That's significant.
And that would, again, to your point, show you how much they think of Keldrick Falk there at the end of the first round. So we'll see how that works out for the Titans. I mean, I do think if you're a Titans fan looking at this, there's some level of benefit of the doubt that I think you give to Saleh in this situation. Of, all right, well, I mean, defense has been your specialty for a long time. You've been really good at it. I mean, even with the Jets, it wasn't like defense was the problem with the New York Jets. So that, I guess, at least makes you feel good that he's a big part of, obviously, the evaluation of Falk here.
Well, and Adam Portland asking, like, who gets more sacks, the sophomore Femi or the freshman Falk? Well, that's the thing. If you like the chances of Saleh and his coaching staff to get the most out of Falk, maybe it's a two for one, and they also do that with Femi, and all of a sudden, wow, you've actually got productive depth at the edge.
But to that point,
that's best case scenario.
That's best case scenario. But to that point, on the Borgonzi front of this, you've now in 2 years invested heavily in edge rusher. You've got a first round pick that you moved back up to go get, a second round pick a year ago that you've invested in edge rusher. Well, those two guys need to be your rushers for the next few years.
They should be starting excellent edges opposite each other
because
in the years to come.
The last thing I want now is, you know, we get around the next draft and it's like, well, the Titans have some needs here, but, you know, they got to take edge rusher at 11th overall because neither one of these guys have worked out. You've now invested heavily in that spot. You need to get some return for it.
And also, conventional wisdom here, based on all the data that we all talk about before a draft, Borgonzi in back-to-back years has overdrafted a quarterback and overdrafted a receiver.
Yeah. And if it works out, nobody's going to care, right? Like, you know, if Cam Ward turns out to be a great player, then...
But Cam Ward, you know, Femi and Keldrick need to be great players on the edge, and then you're set there, and then Cam Ward to Carnell Tate needs to be one of the great pass catch combos in the league,
yeah.
And then you're great, and then you've done great in these drafts. I can't tell you right now if we'll be saying that or if we'll be saying the exact opposite in 2-3 years.
Yeah, just kind of final thoughts summing up the Carnell Tate pick. I was surprised they went there last night, particularly when I saw Reese was still on the board. Right, I mean, he rolls around. Jeremiah Love goes 3 to Arizona. And we said it heading into yesterday, well, if you could end up with one of those two edge rushers, either Bailey or Reese, I'd feel pretty good about it. Well, there he was. I was like, well, good. They're getting up with Arvell Reese. And they go Tate there. And the Giants immediately snatch Arvell Reese with the next pick at number 5. So we're going to be talking about, you know, Tate versus Reese all year long. And then as they get into their careers, you know, throughout their careers here, at least for the foreseeable future here. So that's going to be part of it. And now you need Carnell Tate at number 4 to be a number 1 stud wide receiver for you. And he doesn't have to be that, you know, on the first day of the year, but pretty quickly into his NFL career, you need him to be that for you.
You need him to immediately start, stand out, be your best receiver. That's for starters. And look, I know he's a rookie. It used to be that rookie receivers, in particular in the NFL, like you have to give that rookie year. It's not like that anymore. And if you're that level of player, you should be able to come in, especially a place like this. They, you know, the Titans have a good player in Calvin Ridley who's aging out and probably is playing his last year. And they have a couple nice fourth rounders from a year ago. I think DK, of those two, definitely can be more than just a returner because he has blazing speed.
Yep.
Which Carnell Tate does not have. But Carnell Tate needs to come out immediately. And you can watch enough film of him to convince yourself this will happen, by the way, of his route running, of his, you know, of getting off press coverage, of making big plays, 32.5 yards per touchdown last year. But that's what you need him to immediately come out and be your best receiver. And then, I'm not saying he has to be like a superstar as a rookie, but the one of the best receivers in the league can't be too far behind that.
Yeah.
By taking him at four.
Well, you know, even in your own division, right? Like you're going to be going up against Stingley twice per year. So, like, he's a guy that, you know, you don't have to win every matchup against Derek Stingley, but, like, you need to be able to win a few of those, right? Like, he's going to have to go out there, and those are the type of players that he's going to have to beat on a consistent basis at the NFL level.
Players that he didn't see much in college.
Right.
Which is that's the relevant part of being the number two receiver on your own college team.
That is true. Travis Hunter, if he turns out to be some superstar corner, could be Carnell Tate versus Travis Hunter in the division as well. They're hunting him up.
That is true. That is true. Chad says the idea that Reese wouldn't have been a project too is kind of funny. He didn't play. Well, no, you're right, Chad. You are right. And I think I'd love to know various teams' evaluations of Reese. I think it probably were probably a pretty wide range of those. But again, if when people say this is the top prospect in the draft, I mean, people draft that too, right? They draft the top traits. And that's where if you want to just talk about traits, you know, Tate doesn't have top five receiver traits. He does have high-level production, and again, I think it's a high-floor pick, and high-floor picks are good. But we're going to be watching Reese, you know? That's just natural, and it's going to be compared to Tate for the next few years. And I have no idea what the entire range is possible. The only thing I'd be surprised by is if Tate's not at least a good player.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see what they do by the time the third round comes around. We talked with TD earlier in the show about, you know, is this when you start to look at the interior of the offensive line? Well, we saw a lot of offensive linemen go last night, particularly tackles go last night. You know, who's going to be left and available both at guard and at center by the time the third round comes around? But, you know, when you start looking at holes on the roster right now, I think that's where you start at the moment on the offensive side of the ball. Is now that you've filled another spot at receiver, you know, I think, now that you don't have Jeremiah Love, Tony Pollard's going to be your back to start next year. I'm interested to see if 69 is when they start to go to offensive guard, offensive center. There you go. One of the two.
Iowa's Gennings Dunker. Get him.
Anytime you draft an Iowa offensive lineman.
He's a guard.
I'm cool with it. That's going to do it for us today. We'll have full reaction all day long here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up with Jake Lyman. It's coming up next. We'll see you Monday morning.